I begin with a confession. I know Bozo. I've played a game with Bozo. In fact, I was on TV for the first time with Bozo the Clown. I tossed a handkerchief into a laundry basket, part of a Bozo, Butch, and Belindy game. My team did not win, and I walked out of the studio with only a piece of taffy. But that's all in the past. My hope is that this part of my personal history has not affected my look at the cases involving Bozo the Clown. That was so, so long ago. The Bozo past came crashing into the present a few weeks ago when I heard that this summer will be the last for Bozo the Clown. He's retiring. This might be good news for some, anxious to close a chapter in a taffy-tinted memoir of the funny man with the painted face, the red nose, the triangular orange hair. But query, what is the law to do now that Bozo will be no more? The question is a viable one, because some cases in the law books involve Bozo, but not in a big floppy feet sense. No, these cases invoke the aura of Bozo. They involve times when the defendants in the cases believe no word other than Bozo, no phrase other than Bozo the Clown would best describe someone, someone they felt wasn't quite up to their exacting standards. So cases spring from incidents like the one involving a man from Texas, called, among other things, Bozo the Clown by his supervisor. He based a part of his lawsuit on a tort called intentional infliction of emotional distress and convinced jurors that, among other things, it is outrageous behavior to liken one to, of all clowns, that particular one. The jury awarded him $120,000 for mental anguish, but the appellate court found the defendant's behavior not bad enough to reach the threshold of outrageousness. That name, Bozo the Clown, simply failed to support an intentional infliction of emotional distress claim. Same sort of decision in a different kind of case, this one involving a claim of prosecutorial misconduct in a perjury case from closer to home. The Seventh Circuit Federal Appellate Court found that a prosecutor who'd called certain defense witnesses bozos hadn't really harmed the defendant in the case. Judges decided that the prejudicial effect of the name-calling wasn't significant. And in a case involving a sarcastic cross-examination by a lawyer getting nowhere, same court, same outcome. The lawyer at trial had asked a stonewalling witness, as if in a movie, "You don't know whether Bozo the Clown burned down the building either, do you?" That's a question well within the tolerable range of sarcasm, the federal appellate court found, and refused to grant a mistrial in the case. It offered no analysis of Bozo's possible claims, however. Each case is important to revisit this year of Bozo the Clown's retirement, because in a roundabout way, the courts are saying this: it's not all that bad to be a Bozo. Now, the dictionary claims that Bozo is common slang, a, and I'm quoting here, big, strong, stupid fellow. Bozo, without the capital B, is a rhyming compound based on the French word beau, B-E-A-U. Sure, the word will live on long after we've forgotten just how blue that jumpsuit was, how puffy its pom-poms, and Bozo will continue to impart a certain negativity. But somehow, it won't seem the same without the clown part. Bye-bye, Bozo. And I mean that only in the best way. I'm Amy Guida.